I'm glad that though life is not fair, I'm a citizen of a land that's fairer than day. I appreciate the opportunity to have been here these days and what the Lord has done in our hearts. And I trust that you've gotten some help this week. And I will say this on behalf of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get any help, it's because you didn't want any help. Can I be honest with you tonight? We have as much of Him as we want. And so what you're looking for tonight, it can be found in Him. I appreciate my brother Jason being here. And appreciate my dad being here. And I'm glad Dalton's here, or he was. He just left. You boys might all go check the offering right now. He'll be wanting to stop at Toys R Us on the way home. Singing, God's been good. Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel. And find chapter 18. And I'm not going to be real long-winded tonight. But I want to say what the Lord's put on my heart best I can with His help. 1 Samuel chapter 18. If you love your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
I want to read 3 verses tonight and ask the Lord to give us liberty and ask the Lord to give us unction and give us wisdom. 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, some of y'all still hadn't said amen. You make me nervous. Let's look in verse number 12. The Bible says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Verse number 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Notice verse number 29 of the same text. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Anybody see a pattern in these 3 verses? There is a fear, there is an apprehension, there is a nervousness around Saul concerning this young man named David. Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight to bless the word. Lord, I'm unfit, I'm unworthy, but Lord, you have called and you have put us in this place and in this hour. Lord, I lean heavily upon your Spirit tonight, knowing that without your help, no one will get any help. Lord, I ask you tonight to fill me. Give me grace, give us wisdom. May you have your way in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Verse 12 and verse 15 and verse 29, there is a growing tension in the heart of Saul concerning David. And I guess if we're going to understand that, then we're going to have to understand that the story of David and Saul is a story about a kingdom. Matter of fact, I'm going to need a little help right here. Those of you that know a little bit about your Bible, it is a kingdom that was designed to glorify God. Need a little help now. The nation of Israel was designed, I don't know why, but God chose it to magnify and to glorify Himself. It was a kingdom that was designed to not be ruled by a king, but to be ruled by God. God was in charge of Israel, and they desired a king to rule over them. When they began to desire a king, everybody in the kingdom said, Saul is the man for the job. He's taller than everybody. He's stronger than everybody. He's smarter than everybody. He's better looking than most. Saul is the man for the job. And Saul was a natural king. Can I get a witness right there? Saul became the first king in this kingdom. But due to disobedience, You see, sometimes we get so confident in this flesh that we feel like since we're smarter than everybody else, we tend to think that we're smarter than God. And Saul disobeyed the Lord. And because of disobedience, he became a rebellious king, and then he became a rejected king. Now, this kingdom that was designed to glorify God is being ruled by a king that was natural, but he was rebellious, and he was rejected. Sad story. But I'm thankful that the story doesn't end there. Because now, there is a new king coming in the kingdom. Let me tell you a little bit about him. His name is David, and he is born in Bethlehem. Matter of fact, he was despised by his brethren. The Bible says that he went unto them to the battle, and he came unto his own, and his own at the battle received him not. This new king was a shepherd king. Oh, he loved his little flock. And matter of fact, he was willing to lay down his life for his flock. One day, a roaring lion came down to the flock messing with his sheep, and that little shepherd king put an awful whooping on a roaring lion. There's a new king in the kingdom. He has a throne that is established forever. Does he sound familiar to anybody tonight? I guess I ought to tell you that the real story behind the story is that inside of every one of us tonight, there is a kingdom. That kingdom was designed to glorify God. And inside of every one of us tonight, there is an old, natural, rejected king. Who thinks he's smarter than everybody? Oh, y'all feel free to say amen whenever you want to. Thinks he's stronger than everybody? Thinks he's the best in town? There's a natural rejected king inside of every one of us. But I want to say glory to God. If you're born again by the grace of God, there's a new king in your kingdom. Let me see if you recognize him. He was born in Bethlehem. He's a shepherd king. And he loves his sheep. Matter of fact, a roaring lion came to mess with his sheep. And on a hill called Calvary, he put an awful whooping on a roaring lion. And he has a throne that is established forever. And do you know what the story of 1 and 2 Samuel is? It is a story about which king is going to sit on the throne. And do you know tonight what the story of your life is? It's not going to be how much money you made. And it's not going to be how many things you acquired. But the story of your life is going to come down to one question. Which king sat on the throne of your heart? I'm going to need a good honest witness right here. I'm saved by the grace of God. But inside of my heart, there is an old king. Well, I ain't real satisfied with that. I'm going to say it again, give another chance. Inside of every one of us, even though we're saved, there is an old natural king in us. Well, some of you still don't look convinced. I tell you what I'm going to do tonight when we leave here. I'm going to pull right out in front of you out here on the highway. I'm going to do about 20 miles an hour in front of you. And every turn we come to, I'm going to turn my blinker on and I'm going to act like I'm turning and I'm going to whoop right back out in front of you. And by the time we get to your house and you're reaching under the seat trying to find that pistol and your wife's in the passenger side screaming, "Don't kill him," and the kids are crying, "Daddy, don't go to jail," I'm going to roll down the window and I'm going to say, "Hey neighbor, which kings are sitting on the throne?" Because every one of us tonight have an old king sitting in our heart. And the whole question is which king is going to sit on the throne. Let me say this to you. where we find our story is not the first time that these kings have met. The first time they meet, I like this, there's a giant standing in the valley that the old king cannot whip. How many of you will be honest tonight and realize that there are some things, no matter how strong you are, you can't whoop them by yourself? No, and you might be able to live with them for a while, but you can't defeat them by yourself. You've laid that bottle down, but that bottle didn't let go of you. You threw that bag of weed out the window, but it wasn't long and you found a place to get another one. And there's something that you can't whip. That old king, why, Saul was a giant within his own right, but there was a giant he couldn't whoop. And here we find David coming into that valley. David said, what seems to be the problem here? They said, there's a giant over there, can't nobody whoop. David said, well, I had never whooped no giant, but I have put a whooping on a roaring lion. And said, I reckon if he's going to defy God, I reckon that I can do what I can. And Saul sitting back there in his tent, and his oversized knees were knocking. David goes out there on the battlefield, had five smooth stones that he got out of the water. Those stones are a type of grace. That water's a type of the Word. Listen to me. David's a type of Christ, and Christ in you through the Word of God and the grace of God. There's not a giant he can't whoop. Well, I need more help than that right there. There's not a giant he can't whoop. David goes out there and kills that giant. You know what happened when David killed that giant? The old king said, hallelujah, I like this boy. I like him. He's a giant killer. But somebody ought to tell him, yes, he is. But that's not all he is. Brother Ken, let me ask you a question. How many of you seen come in those double back doors that had a giant they couldn't whoop? And they wanted, well, I'm preaching now, they wanted just enough of the new king to whoop that giant. Everybody doing all right tonight? They want just enough of Jesus to overcome what they can't overcome. Just enough to get them sober. Just enough so she'll quit packing up and leaving. Just enough to stay out of jail. Just enough to have peace of mind. And I come to tell you, he is a giant killer. Somebody ought to holler glory right there. He can dry out a drunk. Somebody ought to shout glory. He can sober up a dope head. But that's not all he is. He's a king. And he's headed for the throne. They meet again. Saul is having a little trouble sleeping at night. And the Spirit of the Lord has come off of him. And Saul's up all night, can't sleep, can't rest, can't get any peace of mind. Well, I'm having me a good time tonight. And somebody said, sir, we've heard about a little fella out there on the hills of Bethlehem, and said he can sing like nobody else can sing. And said, we think that if you'd let him come down here, he might bring a little peace into your troubled heart. Saul said, get him and bring him. David shows up, and David comes in that throne room, and David begins to sing a song. And can I just stop and say right here that Jesus can sing a song that nobody else can sing? And when David began to sing his song, peace settled into the heart of Saul. And Saul said, oh, I like that boy singing. Isn't it something how lost people will take to gospel singing, but they don't have no use for gospel preaching? Well, it's last night. I might as well say everything I want to say. Load up and drive all over the country to hear four-part harmony. Sit in a coliseum and clap their hand in three-quarter time. But you let a man of God get a word of God for the Holy Ghost of God, and they'll be hunting an exit ramp somewhere. Sister piano player said it tonight. These little limp-wristed contemporary churches, you know what they're doing? They're filling the church house up with singing that appeases the soul, but it does not change the heart. Everybody all right tonight? You know what's wrong with contemporary music? It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about my feeling. Half them songs, you can't tell if they're singing to God or the girlfriend. It's just all a bunch of mush about me and my and mine and ours. And they want just enough of Him to put peace in their heart. Let me tell you something, Saul. He can bring peace to your troubled heart. Anybody ever had the Holy Ghost show up in your midnight hour, sing you a song that nobody else could sing? And while the world was crumbling around you, you slept like a baby nestled in the arms of God. He can bring peace to your troubled heart. And I thank God for that. But I got to tell you something. He's not just a singer. He's a king. And he's headed for the throne. I want to say a couple things right here, the Lord help me. You know something about that old king, and I mean that old nature in us. If you understand that, say amen. Saul here is a type of that old man. David is a type of Christ that lives within us. And there's something about that old man, Saul. Preacher, help me if I'm right here. Saul was willing to do whatever it took to stay on the throne. Saul didn't care who he hurt, long as he didn't lose his throne. He didn't care who he killed, as long as he didn't lose his throne. He didn't care who he stepped on, as long as he didn't lose his throne. But there's something about David in this text as a type of Christ in us. David had the right to the throne, but David would not fight for that throne. Doing all right tonight? David would not fight for the throne. You know who sits on the throne of your heart? Just whoever you want to. I'm going to say this now. I'm going to mess some of y'all up. Jesus is not going to fight for the right to the throne of your heart. That old nature in us, it's a fighter. Can I get a witness right there? Boy, you start pulling away from the things of this world, that old man will fight you. He'll rise up and buck against you. But honey, Jesus will not fight you over the throne of your heart. Why, David's own son Absalom said, I want the throne. David said, all right, you can have it. Because he's not going to fight you over the throne of your heart. Watch what happens. Anybody glad tonight there's a new king in the kingdom? Look in chapter 18 and find verse number 3. The Bible says that David comes into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse number 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Look at me right here. When the new king came in the kingdom, the old king lost his son to the new king. Now, here's where I'm going. That son was the rightful heir to the throne. He was the next one in line. If I take a lap and don't come back, that outline's right there. Just preach it, all right? Jonathan was the one to make sure everything would stay like it always had been. There's some of y'all in here tonight, Daddy was a drunk, and you think you got to be a drunk. Amen goes right there. Mom and Daddy split up and you feel like you got to split up. Mama ran off and quit, and you feel like your days are coming soon. But I got news for you. When Jesus comes into your kingdom, that line of predecessors, things begin to change, and it don't have to be like it's always been. Jonathan came and said, here's my girdle, here's my bow, here's my authority. I submit to you. This is your throne. I'm not going to try to take your place. The new king takes his son. Look in verse number 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Watch, watch, watch. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. Look at me now. Who were those servants? They were those who had always done what Saul said to do. Saul said go, and they went. Saul said stay, and they stayed. Saul said jump, and they said how high. But somebody ought to tell Saul, there's a new king in the kingdom. And those servants who have always been loyal to Saul, they are now changing over their loyalty. Well, I tell some of y'all don't have a clue what I'm trying to say. Did you know that you and I have servants in our lives tonight? These hands are servants. These feet are servants. These eyes and this mind, it is a servant. All of your life, those eyes looked at what the old king said to look at. They went where the old king said to go. These hands touched what the old king said to touch. Oh, but I'm so glad for the day that Jesus came into your heart and the new king took over the kingdom. Them hands that used to do what the old king said, praise God, they're not holding a beer tonight, they're holding a Bible. That mouth that used to be so vulgar and vile, it's not shouting profanity, it's shouting hallelujah in God's house. Them eyes that used to look on the filth of this world, they've done raised up a little bit higher, and we done let the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Those servants are changing loyalty. Watch now. He's lost his son. He's lost his servants. Look now in verse number 6. It came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, hallelujah, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands. Look at me right here. I see old King Saul up there on his balcony, got all of his boys with him, and he heard them girls a-singing in the street. He said, y'all quieten down. This is my favorite song. I love this song. One of them hollered out, Saul has slain his thousands. Saul said, I love this song right here. Sing it again, girls. Saul hath slain his thousand. Saul said, don't you boys like that song? About that time, some old gal in the back of the choir hollered out, but David hath slain his 10,000. Saul said, I don't believe I've ever heard that rendition of that song before. That must be the new remix they put out. I've never heard that part of that song. The new king's come in the kingdom. He's taken over his son. He's taken over his servants. And now he's taken over his song. Look, verse number 8. And Saul was very wroth. I reckon so. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. Watch now. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he ain't no spoon neither. He said, and what can he have more but the kingdom? He's starting to figure it out now. He said, he got my son. He got my servants. He got my song. And now he's going to try to get my seat. We ought to told him, shouldn't we? He's not just a giant killer. He's not just a singer. He's a king. And Saul, he's headed for your throne. You know, once you get saved, that old nature still lives inside of you. Everybody ought to holler amen right there. And the story of our Christian life is, are we going to let the old man sit on the throne, or are we going to let Christ sit on the throne of our heart? And I got to say something. I'm just about done. I got to say something. It's a real strange relationship here. Because Saul, as a type of that old man, wants to kill David as a type of Christ in us, but he can't. How many of you remember reading the Bible? Saul took that javelin, threw it across the throne room, and time again, he tried to kill David, but he could not. I just want to stop and say right here, I believe in that once saved, always saved business. Once the Holy Ghost moves in your heart and the resurrected Son of God comes in your kingdom, nobody can get him out. Preach somewhere and said that statement. Fellow met me after the service. He said, preacher, that sounds real good. He said, but I got to ask you something. He said, what if you commit some of them real bad sins? And I looked at him, I said, sir, what does that mean? Is that as opposed to some of them real good sins? I didn't know there was good sins and bad sins. He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, what I mean is, if you sin willfully. I said, sir, every sin we commit is willfully.
Right, right.
Oh, y'all look up here at me tonight. Ain't nobody slip and fell into sin. We run and cannonball into sin. You ain't slipping and falling like that little boy told his mama, said, I'm going to go down the creek. She said, all right, said, you go down there. Said, but don't you go swimming. We got to go to town. Don't you get in that creek. 30 minutes later, he come walking back to the house in his swim shorts, water and moss dripping off of his ears. She said, what in the world? I thought I told you not to go swimming. He said, Mom, I didn't mean to. He said, but when I got down there, I got tempted. She said, well, if you just got tempted, why'd you have your swimming shorts on? He said, I had a feeling I was going to get tempted when I got down there. When Christ comes into our heart, that old nature wants to kill Christ in us, but it cannot. Told you it's a strange relationship. Now watch this. David, as a type of Christ in us, could kill Saul, that old man, but he won't. Y'all don't make me teach Sunday school tonight. You remember David being in the cave? Coming out, there lay Saul dead asleep. David could have ended his life in a heartbeat. But David took a piece of his skirt and waved it across the valley. Took a cruise of his water, waved it across the valley. Time and time again, David could have killed Saul, but he would not.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that Christ has the ability and the authority to kill that old nature in us, but he will not?
Amen.
Did you know, ain't nobody going to be able to kill that old nature in you? The Bible says that Saul in his last days, his own armor bearer, would not take his life. Nobody can kill Saul in your life. Christ isn't going to kill your old nature, and nobody else can kill that old nature. Y'all just let me get real honest here for just a second. Have you ever tried to kill that old nature in somebody else? only to find out that the more you try to kill it, the meaner it gets. I was preaching for a real young preacher several weeks ago, and he said, I was having some trouble with a member here in the church. He said, but I preached a real hard sermon. He said, that should have fixed that. I thought, Lord God, have mercy. I got news for you, son. All you did was stick a stick in the bee's nest and stir it up. Ain't no hard sermon ever killed nobody's old nature. You fellas ever try to kill the old nature in your wife? How's that working out for you there, fellas? Huh? How's that working for you? You can't kill that old nature in her. And she can't kill it in you. She can't even get you to put the lid down in the bathroom, let alone kill that old nature in you. Can't nobody kill that old man in you. And a matter of fact, the more they try, the meaner he gets. Gonna need a little help right here. I believe in raising up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that means a good whooping every now and then. Oh, come on now. I ain't showed up at no Dobson seminar, have I? Somebody said, well, we got them on Ritalin. My daddy raised us on Ritalin. 52 inches of Ritalin. And give us doses about 3 times a day. Can I get a witness right there? Hallelujah. My little boy's here tonight. We got him in a good Christian school. We do everything we can to raise him right. I done wore out 2 paddles and a belt on him. But Brother Ken, no matter what I do, I cannot kill that old nature in him. You can't kill it in anybody else. Somebody said, well, preacher, we got a real problem here. Because if Christ can and he won't, but nobody else can, how's that old nature going to die? I'm glad you asked. Look with me, if you will, the very last chapter of 1 Samuel. Chapter 31, verse number 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. Here it is. But his armor bearer would not. Can't nobody kill Saul. For he was sore afraid. How's he going to die, Brother Jonathan? How's this old nature in me going to die if Christ won't kill him? And if nobody else can, how's he going to die? Look at your Bible. Therefore Saul, hallelujah, we get close to some shouting ground. Therefore Saul took a sword. Well, I'm going to read it till y'all get it. Therefore Saul took a sword. Look at me right here. Therefore Saul took a sword. Took a sword and fell upon it. You know what that sword is? It's a type of the Word of God. And the only way Saul died was he threw himself on the sword. You know the only way that old nature in you is going to die is if you commit spiritual suicide and throw it on the Word of God. Can't nobody kill that old nature in you except for you. You know how we do it? Paul said, I die daily. Falling on the Word of God. You know, there's a whole lot of people want to brag about their prayer life. But if you ain't been in your Bible, you don't even know what you're praying about. Am I doing all right tonight? If you hadn't been in the book, you don't even know what you're praying about. Don't tell me how long you've been praying until you fell on the sword and let the Word of God kill that old nature. Now, I've got several things I could say. I want to finish with this. Saul has fallen on the sword. David has taken his place on the throne. And that new king is ruling in the kingdom. One day he's sitting on his throne and he says, is there anybody left of the house of that old king, that I might show grace unto them. Somebody said, well, there's one. Said, but he ain't much to look at. And said, he sure ain't much to him. David said, that's just exactly the one that I want to see. They went down there to Lodibar, knocked on that door, and a little crippled boy pulled himself up to the door frame. They said, sir, we've come on behalf of the king. We've come to show grace unto you. Mephibosheth said, sirs, said, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've already got a king. And said, Saul's my king. And said, he's the reason I look like this. I was crippled in a fall. And said, I've been starving to death ever since. And I've already got a king. They said, son, you must not get the Jerusalem Times Gazette down here. Because there's a new king in the kingdom. And said, things are sure different down there than they used to be. And they brought Mephibosheth back to David's house. Have you ever been around somebody that always had everything and never was thankful for anything? And then have you ever been around somebody who never had anything and that's thankful for everything? I can see Mephibosheth's first night at the king's table. All those other children of the king, they're so used to it, it didn't mean nothing to them. They sat and talked about community gossip and about who was who and who wasn't. Mephibosheth sat down at that table. And Lord have mercy, there's more food on this plate than he'd seen in his whole life. He looked down the table, and there sat that new king sitting on the throne. I can't help but believe he probably... Scott. Boy, life sure was different for him under the new king than it was under the old king. Here's what I want to say tonight, and I'm done. There's somebody here, and you've only got one king in your kingdom. The devil is running you through the bottom of life. And he's absolutely wrung you out and just tried to destroy everything that you have and everything that you are. And you want just enough of Jesus to whoop them giants. And you want just enough of Jesus to put some peace in your troubled world. But sir, I want to tell you something. The greatest life you'll ever live is when you let the darling Son of God sit on the throne of your heart. I wouldn't spend another day under Saul's authority if I knew that David was waiting to take his place. And somebody tonight needs to come, fall on the Word of God, and let Christ sit on the throne of your heart. I want you to stand up with me all over the building. Here's what I want to do. Two things. First of all, there's saved folk in here that you're on your way to heaven. But you've got a decision to make every day of your life. Which king are you going to let sit on the throne? And I wonder if born again folk would bring your Bible tonight and fall out all over this altar and say, Lord, I want you to rule in my heart. And there's somebody here tonight that's lost. You need to come. I wouldn't walk, I'd run to this altar. And I'd ask Jesus into my heart and let Him save you from a world of hell and hurt. Come to Him tonight.